haram anyway. 12 is the place of Salah being Mubah. You find caravans of Islam Ashari community going to Baitul Muqaddas in Israel. Isn't that right? Now my question to you, whichever mujtahid you follow, we have to respect all the mujtahids. We consider it wajib to respect all our mujtahids. They are great personalities. Can you find a single mujtahid on the planet Earth who can say that your prayers is jais and permitted on the ghasbi and usurped land? How silly some people are who are taking caravans to go to the usurped land, even when you step on the airport, which is constructed by destroying so many of the houses. Did you take permission from the owner of the houses? Where is your tadayyun and dindari? Where is your ABC of your common sense of Islam? And they are taking caravans full bagat ilallah for the ziyarat of Baitul Muqaddas and paying the visa fees for the Zionist regime and stepping on the usurped land, every inch of the land which is usurped, and then praying there. Well then why bother to pray? Is takalluf ki zarurat hi kya hai namaz padhne ki? Is takalluf bhi na kijiye phir namaz ka? Allah has already mentioned that your prayers is batil in the usurped land and that you did not permitted by the owner. Did you take permission from the owner when you were stepping on the airport of Tel Aviv? But that's the way some people are. The whole religion is upside down. This is one of the few examples of their... So place of Salah has to be Mubah. Not just that. Even the place where you are standing to do your wudu, the Sharia says the qatrat, you know, the sprinkles and the droplets of water which are falling down from your hands when you're doing the wudu, all that area, all that radius where the droplets of water are falling down when you are doing the wudu, that entire area has to be mubah for you at the time of wudu. Not just the area where your 2 feet are standing. All that area where the droplets of water are also falling down should be mubah for you. Even your wudu has that ruling. What to talk of the prayers? So you have to take permission from the owner. It should be non-usurped area. So such these things are done kulbatan in Allah. A lot of haram things done in the name of kulbatan in Allah because we consider our opinions to be the criteria to judge. You know, anybody, you find so many neem mullahs. Neem mullahs are the biggest issue of generally speaking, you know, in different communities. Because they haven't learned Islam from the proper, authentic, recognized houses. Whatever they say, there's no authenticity. So these kind of people are one of the major problems that we are facing right now. So if the unauthentic sources of information have caused these things to flourish in the community. So 13th point number 13 is that point of sajda should be from Sa'id. Sa'id in Arabic means the surface of earth. Anything which belongs to the surface of earth, or it grows from the surface of earth, or it is related to the surface of earth, like a stone. Stone did not grow, but it is related to the surface of earth, or the soil, or the plantations. Those are the plants which are not used for eating or for dressing up with. So that is Sa'id. So we can do sajda on the leaf, on the grass, those are the leaves which are not consumed and not eaten by the human beings or not used in the dress. So any part of Sa'id, you can do sajda on the stone, you can do sajda on the soil, on the sand. So this is all part of the Sa'id. Sajda is done on Sa'id, and the biggest misdaq, the most superior misdaq of Sa'id is of course the qurbat of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam.
يخرق الحجب السابق
doing the sajda on the turbat and soil of Imam Hussain al-Islam, rips apart the seven curtains. Don't we have seven curtains between us and Allah? If you do sajda on the turbat and khaki shifa and soil of Imam Hussain al-Islam, it breaks apart, opens up all the seven curtains. So this is how you get access to the divine domain. If you do the sajda on the highest level soil, which is most beloved, this is not an ordinary soil. This is the soil that was raised by Allah during the tufan and storm of Hazrat Nuh. When the tufan and storm of Hazrat Nuh came, Allah raised two soils, the soil of Kaaba and the soil of Karbala. They never got wet from the storm. These are the most superior pieces of land on earth. So, there was a fatwa of Imam Khomeini that you cannot put the turbat and khaki shifa in the lower pocket of your pant, close to the private parts. This is an insult of the turbat of Imam Hussain al-Islam. If you carry the turbat, you have to carry it in the upper pocket. It has a great respect. It's the turbat of Imam Hussain. It's not an ordinary turbat. So, of course, that's the highest miskaf of Sa'id. And then, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, whenever he used to send gift to his Shias and followers, Imam Ridha always used to send a little bit of turbat of Imam Hussain, khaki shifa, along with the gift. That was the tradition of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Khaki shifa should be part of our gift. That's the highest gift actually. So, he used to send the turbat, that's whether there were other things in the gift or not, but he used to send the turbat. So 14th one is the place should be stable and not shaking. If you are standing on a place which is shaking and moving, so your prayers, the zikr, the tilawat, the recitations, the things that you are saying will become batil, because anything you say when you are moving, your body is moving, is invalid. Anything you say, whether it's the part of the recitation of Quran which is there in the prayers, or any zikr, any phrases of remembrance of Allah, zikr of ruku, zikr of sajda, anything that you are saying in the prayers which is wajib, if you are moving, your body is moving, that zikr, that phrase, that sentence, that recitation of Quran is batil and invalid. Your body has to be stable, not in the shaking position. Istiqrarul badan, what we say in Arabic. Your body has to have istiqrar, unshaking condition. So if you say a statement intentionally while your body was shaking, then that zikr or that recitation will become batil. And since you intentionally make your recitation on your zikr batil, your prayers will also become batil. So unless for some exceptions, every law has some exception. One of the exceptions for this law is, you know, what we, there's a whole chapter in our books, you know, about Rakibu Safina, somebody who is on board a ship. So, or if you are on board a plane today, or you are on a train, so the same ruling would apply, what rulings would apply on those who are aboard a ship. There are certain other rules which apply, which we need to follow. If you are not shaking on your own, but your shaking of the body is due to the movement of the natural movement of the ship, or natural movement of the aircraft, or natural movement of the train, that is okay. Unless if you know, you can find a time where the train or where the airplane will be totally void of any turbulence, and it will be really a smooth ride, like after 10,000 feet elevation, whatever. If you know that after a while it will be removed, then don't pray at that time when the plane has turbulence. Just wait for a few minutes so that you can do it properly. If you know that, well, the turbulence is not going to end, and this is the natural turbulence of the plane, then you can pray and that will be okay. So these are the 14 conditions of sihhat and correctness of the prayers. Now coming to the types of wajibat, how much time do we have for the second segment? 3:30. We have 1 hour. Okay. Types of wajibat, here I would like to mention two important aspects of the wajibat of the prayers. Wajibat of the prayers are classified into these categories. Some wajibat are called rukniya, wajibat al-rukniya, the pillar wajibs, and certain others are called ghair rukniya, that means the non-pillar wajibs. So these are two classifications of all the wajibs in the prayers. The difference between a pillar wajib and a non-pillar wajib, wajib al-rukni and wajib al-ghair al-rukni, is as follows. If you leave the pillar wajib of the prayers, sahwan, that is unintentional negligence, or you leave the pillar wajib because of isyan, because negligence due to forgetfulness, you forgot it. You know the ruling, but you forgot it at the time of prayers. Or you leave the pillar wajib because of abdan, intentional negligence. All these three are going to cause the salah to become batil and invalid. If it's the pillar wajib, then all these three situations will make your salah to be batil and invalid. Now, the difference with the non-pillar wajibs is that, now here you can see that if you leave the non-pillar wajib sahwan, that means unintentional negligence towards that, or nisyan, or negligence because of due to forgetfulness, these do not cause the salah to become batil and invalid. Sahw and nisyan do not cause your salah to become batil in regarding the non-pillar wajibs, if you do the negligence about the non-pillar wajibs of the prayers. So this is the difference between rukni, the pillar, and the ghair rukni, the non-pillar wajibs. But if the abdan negligence is there, if you intentionally do the negligence that will cause about the non-pillar wajibs, that will cause the salah to become batil. So the non-pillar wajibs are the ones which, if you are intentionally ignoring it, your prayers will become batil. Otherwise, by sahw and nisyan, it will not become batil. But pillar wajibs are so important, as soon as you neglect, the prayers is gone. Whether you do it intentionally, unintentionally, forgetfully, whatever be the case, as soon as you neglect a pillar wajib, the prayer is gone. You don't need to complete the prayers, because there is no reason for completing it, as because the prayer became batil then and there. So if you suppose I read my surah and Surah Al-Hamd and the next surah, after that I was supposed to do Qiyam Muttasil bil Ruku. I had to wait for a few moments and then قُلْ اللَّهُ وَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Wait for a couple of seconds, Allahu Akbar, and then I go to Ruku. This is okay. I did the Qiyam Muttasil bil Ruku, the Qiyam which is connected with the Ruku. Here, this is the pillar wajib. Now, it's okay. But let's suppose I neglected the pillar wajib. I neglected this few moments of waiting period after the second surah before going to Ruku. قُلْ اللَّهُ وَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدُ. If I do this kind of prayer, this becomes automatically batil. You don't need to continue with the ruku and the rest of the rakat and then restart the prayer. It is already gone. Because you messed up with the pillar wajib. Qiyam muttasil bil ruku, the standing and waiting for a couple of moments before going to ruku and after reading the second surah, was a pillar wajib. So this is the difference between wajib al-rukni and ghair al-rukni. And then we have the wajibat, which are related to wajibat al-salat. The total number of wajib in the prayers are 11. And I have mentioned here, if you can see the P, the P's, these five P, this is the pillar wajibs, and then we have an NP, these are the non-pillar wajibs. The total are 11. The pillar wajibs are these five, the niyat, which is the intention, and then the qiyam, I mentioned two standings. Qiyam, two kinds of qiyam are part of the pillar wajibs. Let me write it down here. Qiyam means standing. Two kinds of standings are pillar wajibs in Islam. There are totally three kinds of standings in total. Two of them are the pillar wajib and one is the non-pillar wajib. The first one is standing at the takbiratul ihram, the first takbir Allahu Akbar that you say in the beginning. Takbiratul ihram. The first takbir Allahu Akbar that you say. Standing, saying the takbiratul ihram during the standing position is a pillar wajib in Islam. Number two, the second standing which is a pillar wajib is the standing and qiyam muttasil bi ruku. Standing position after the second surah of Quran that you read after the hamd and before going to ruku, which I just displayed to you, before going to ruku. Standing position that you should have, wait for a couple of minutes, couple of moments in the standing situation after reading the second surah and before going to the ruku. This is also the pillar wajib. These both are including the pillar wajib. And the third standing, which is also a standing wajib, it is wajib, but it is a non-pillar wajib. Wajib ghair rukni is the standing position that we have during the reading the Surah Al-Fatiha and the next surah. It is wajib to stand during the Fatiha and the next surah, but this is a non-pillar wajib. It's not a pillar wajib. So these are total three standings. Two of them are the pillar wajibs, and the third one is the non-pillar wajib. So that's why I mentioned the qiyam, the pillar wajib. The P one, the pillar wajib is the one which two standing. That means the standing at the time of the takbir al-ihram and standing at the time of after reading the second surah. When you are done with the second surah, before going to the ruku, wait for a couple of moments. Even at least if you wait for that much while that you can say Allahu Akbar before going to ruku, which is mustahab to say, it's recommended, it's not wajib to say that, but at least you are waiting for that much couple of moments to say Allahu Akbar. So you are saying that of course in the standing position without moving your body, and that much is enough. So if you can say Allahu Akbar after the second surah in the standing position without moving your body and then you go for ruku, that's okay. Because you did your pillar wajib, that much standing will be counted during the saying of Allahu Akbar. And then the third pillar wajib is Takbiratul Ihram itself. So if somebody forgets the Takbiratul Ihram, he never started his prayers. His valerie, you know, Sahman, Nisyan, and Abdan, in any case, it will be batil. Takbiratul Ihram. And then it is ruku. If somebody forgets the ruku, even unintentionally, the prayers is gone. There's need to complete your prayer. There's no prayers. It's already batil. You just have to start it immediately again. Just start again. Fifth one is the sajda. When we say sajda, we mean two sajdas together. Two sajdas together are counted to be a pillar wajib in Islam, wajib rukni. One sajda is not counted to be a wajib rukni. One sajda is a wajib, but it's not a wajib rukni. But if somebody forgets two of the sajdas altogether, then his prayer is batil. Forgets sahwan or isyanan or amdan in all three cases, or if any of those three cases, if somebody leaves both of the sajdas together, then his prayer is batil. If you forget one sajda unintentionally, your prayer is not batil. You have to, of course, do the, sajda to sah. So, you will do sajda to sah. Now coming to the non-pillar wajibs, these are the, six. First is the qira'at, the correct recitation. If your recitation is incorrect of the Holy Quran, your prayer is batil. There is no difference of the fatwa of any mujtahid in these teachings which we are mentioning here. These are a common teaching of all the mujtahids. So if your qira'at is not correct, the minimum learning process takes about 2 weeks to learn. It's a matter of importance. We are not, of course, talking about becoming a professional qari, professional reciter of Quran. Even if we learn the basic stuff, it takes about a couple of weeks only. So, but we need to learn the qira'at. So we have correct recitation. Second is the zikr, the phrases of remembrance of Allah. Like we say, Subhan Rabbi A'la wa bihamdi. This is a zikr. We say in the ruku, in the sajda, Subhan Rabbi A'zim wa bihamdi. he said in the ruku. And so these are the phrases, examples of the phrases of zikr of Allah. You can either say Subhana Rabbi Ra'ala wa bihamdi once, or you can say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Or in the says in the ruku, you can either say Subhana Rabbi Ra'ala wa bihamdi, this much is wajib, or you can just say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. One of those two, the choice is yours. It's not valid to say the both of them. So then the next one, eighth one, is tashahhud, the witnesses, the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
These are the two witnesses that we hear during the tashahhud and the salawat after that, which we send. You remember this famous shaykh of Imam Shafi'i, where he has said about the Ahlul Bayt and Salam, there is no difference in the Islamic texts about this matter. This is the shaykh of Imam Shafi'i, where he has said, Tafakum min azim al-qadri al-nakum من لم يصلي عليكم لا صلاة له. That's the shaykh of Imam al-Shafi'i. So if this is enough for the greatness of you, Ahlul Bayt, then whosoever doesn't send salawat on you, his prayers is not considered to be praised by Allah. So this is something accepted by all the Muslims. It's wajib to say salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And we must remember that if the zikr prayers is the madhhar of ikhlas and tawheed, in the prayers, if Allah is asking us and obliging us to mention the names of the Prophet, the name of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, Muhammad and Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although the prayers is for tawheed, but still we talk about other personalities other than Allah. So if their zikr, if these personalities were not the madhar and complete reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would never have been allowed, Allah would never have been obliging us to mention their name or their zikr during the prayers as wajib. Mentioning their name itself is a clearest evidence that their zikr is the zikr of Allah. That's what we say in the ziyarat. Man zakarakum faqad zakara Allah azza wa jal. Whosoever remembers you has actually remembered Allah. This is the segment which some of the sects failed to understand, and they ended up in what they ended up with. So we must understand that the means in wasitatul faiz should never be neglected. If they were not there, we can never recognize Allah. No one can recognize Allah and have the ma'rifat of Allah without them. So their mentioning is equal to the mentioning of Allah, exactly without any difference. Zikr of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is equal to the zikr of Allah, because they are the most perfect reflection of every name and every attribute of God, without exception, in their being madhariyah. Ninth pillar wajib, non-pillar wajib is salam. We say the salam after the tashahhud. The first one, assalamu alaikum ayyuha nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, is mustahab to say, it's not wajib. The second one, assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillah as-salihin, is also not wajib to say. You get the thawab and reward if you say that. The third one, assalamu alaykum, this much is wajib to say. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh is an added ihtiyat, this is compulsory added. The wajib amount is assalamu alaykum. That's it. But the added ihtiyat, some mustahid said ihtiyat is wajib to add wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh also. So this third one is the one which is beginning part is wajib, end part is ihtiyat is wajib. Bottom line, it's compulsory, third one. The first two are not compulsory. So, this is the salam. And then we have the tarteeb, the sequence. It's compulsory to do the wajibs and the segments of the prayers in a specific sequence and format which Allah has informed. We cannot mess up the format. I cannot read I cannot read the Surah Al-Ikhlas before Surah Al-Fatiha. And say, well, what's wrong with that? It's a surah, haram. I'm not doing a haram. Well, you are not doing a haram, it's a surah, but this is not the format which Allah, you know, asks you to do. When you are doing an ibadah, what is the definition of an ibadah? Doing an action which God obliged us to, ask us to do for the sake of His taqarrub and closeness. So if I move my hand like this, and tomorrow I say to Allah, oh my Lord, give me the reward for that. Cannot Allah say to me, well, who asked you to move your hand? Did I ask you to move your hand? We cannot oblige Allah to give us a reward, you know. We can never oblige Allah for anything, but we cannot expect Allah to give us a reward on something that I think is right. My thinking and my take is nothing, no value when we have the pre-existing opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So let us keep our opinions and takes at home. When we come to an Islamic center, we don't come here to listen to anybody's personal opinions and takes. We come here to learn the opinion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who is the one who taught us this Sharia of Rasulullah. Somebody likes it or not, that's the way it is. So, tartib has to be remembered. We cannot mess up the sequence. You cannot do the ruku before, after the sajda. It's not going to happen. So, 11 is the non-pillar wajib is muwalat, that means doing things without a gap. So, if I read Surah Al-Fatiha and then I stay here for 10 minutes standing like this brightly and do nothing, and after 10 minutes then I read Surah Al-Ikhlas, what is the status of my prayers? Of course it is batil, because I messed up with mu'alat. This is wajib. It's a non-pillar wajib, but it is wajib. I cannot intentionally mess up. So I am doing it with a gap. It will become batil. I cannot bring a gap between the prayers which the urf of Ukhala, the Islamically intellectual people call it a gap. So I cannot do that.